Neil Salmon, welcome. You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 66 of Ravens Weekly, the official Bromley FC podcast, proudly sponsored by our friends at GPM Group, the specialist fire door manufacturers. As ever, I'm joined by Matt.
Hello.
And Cookie is somewhere outside in the rain, we'll leave
yes,
him to
is.
That. A big thank you to everybody who's downloaded this episode and is tuning in. Plenty coming up, so we better get started really. And unfortunately, Matt, I guess we're going to have to start with Wrexham last Saturday.
Yeah, unfortunately is the word, I think, Jeff. It wasn't to be for us on the afternoon. I think a disappointing first half was to blame for the result in general. It obviously finished 2-0 and just made that run of form even more difficult.
We'll go into a bit more detail, but obviously yourself and Dan were on commentary duty on that afternoon. And here's what you guys had to say.
And like we were saying earlier, the wind is going to play a part here.
Definitely.
It's extremely windy. Ever away from Bush by the goal kick. Whiteley can't quite win the second ball and Wrexham attack again. They're in the Bromley half now with Keller Dunn, who's advancing towards the back ball. Keller Dunn takes a great touch, beats a challenge, shoots it. And Wrexham have the lead. And it's the new signing, Keller Dunn. And I have to say, unfortunately, they have had the better of these opening 15 or so minutes. And they're 1-0 up now. Coulson will take the free kick by the looks of things. He does. He swings it in. It's a good ball. Kizzy's nearly onto it, but Layton bravely comes out. And that's the closest Bromley have come. Headed away by Bush. Flicked on by Raymond. He does well, Raymond. Whiteley picks it up. Great bit of play
good
for
turn.
Corey Whiteley there. He takes every touch, but he's still on the ball here. He's
shooting good feet.
There. Corey Whiteley.
He done well, though.
Out. How are we set out? Chris Bush. He's going to step up here. Bush with the strike left footed.
It's
a great save,
good save
by Layton. It was a really well struck free kick from Chris Bush down to Rob Layton's left, but he manages to make the save. And now Bush will.
It looks so close, it might as well be a penalty, mightn't it?
Yes, yeah. But Bromley have got a wall up.
This is direct as well, very direct.
It's struck by.
Oh, good
great save.
Save
by Cousins. Absolutely
save.
Brilliant. Keller done with the shot, and Cousins has managed to somehow tip that over the bar.
Inches outside.
Layton takes the goal kick, and of course, the wind's died down now. So.
No surprise there.
Chip with a flick on, finds Coulson. Coulson takes a good touch, feeds it to Aaron Rowe, just on the outside of the box. Here is Aaron Rowe, drifting in and out of challenges. It's full to Coulson on the edge of the box. Coulson with a shot, it's blocked. Finds Samwood. Samwood here takes a shot straight into Layton's arms. He did well there, Samwood, to get the shot away, but straight into the arms of Layton. In the end, he's going to take his time. Goal kick taken by Cousins. Flicked on by Cheek to Coulson. Great
he's
touch
in.
From Coulson.
And
the shot just didn't have enough on it. Didn't have enough on it in the end. Left footed over towards Kizzy, who wins the header into the box. Cheeks there to take it down. Here's Whiteley.
Good save.
Good save from Layton, who can't hold it. He parries it away. And then Wrexham clear. Whiteley's only got Clifton and Reese ahead of him. He checks back to Samwood. Samwood with a lovely crossfield ball looking for Rowe.
Great ball.
Rowe gets a good touch on it.
Oh,
manages
yes.
to get inside his man. Aaron Rowe with a shot. It's parried by Layton. It's headed back by a Wrexham man. Whiteley's on the ball in the box. It's half cleared. Still in the danger zone as Bingham picks up the ball and gives it away to Ponticelli. Looks like there's going to be 5 minutes added on, but Ponticelli's one-on-one here with Dave Winfield. He's Ponticelli, takes a shot,
and
2-0, and that is game, set, and match. Jordan Ponticelli finishes coolly past Cousins, and that is 2-0.
And that was how it stayed, Matt, really. I mean, the second goal was obviously inevitable, I guess, in the end, Matt. Obviously chasing, looking for a way back into the game.
Yeah, I think you leave yourself open if you go out all-out attack, and that's what we did. But you have to in those situations. You're 1-0 down, and second half we were a lot better. And I've seen Rob Layton, the Wrexham goalkeeper, got into Team of the Week, and he made several good saves in that second half.
How often does that happen?
Yeah, it's so annoying, isn't it? That said, we've got to be consistent throughout games, and we can't be, I think Neil said it in the interview, we can't be relying on a good second half if we've had a poor first half and put ourselves in a position where
where we're a goal or maybe more down. So it was really disappointing. I mean, particularly the opening 10 minutes was just not Bromley, really, and it was all Wrexham. We started to fight our way back into it, and second half, all that was missing was an equalising goal, and who knows, if we'd have got one, we could have gone on to win the game.
Okay, before we move on to a more cheerful subject, obviously we hear from manager Neil Smith after that game.
Neil, a 2-0 defeat to Wrexham today. What were your thoughts on the match?
Fuming, angry, what I feel. We've had a chat. They've told us their feelings, and they know they've let everybody down. As manager, I take full responsibility, and I've got to make sure that doesn't happen again.
And I think I heard you saying it off camera a minute ago. There were only two or three big performances from players today, which isn't enough.
My whole thing is, we're Bromley Football Club. We're on 51 points, which is the so-called points that you need to stay up. Where is the fear now? Why are we fearing anything? Last season we had 60 points. Better that, we've bettered what we got. 70 points is the most this club's ever got in this division. I don't get why we look anxious. I've got big players in that team. I've got experienced players in that team. Sort out the problems on the pitch while it's going on. I shouldn't have to do it every time. But as manager, it's my responsibility, and it's my responsibility to maybe change it, give other people a chance, because we've got nothing to lose at the moment.
And you made a few changes midfield-wise from the Stockport game last week, obviously bringing in Billy Bingham for Jordan Higgs. What was the reasoning behind that?
Experience. You're playing against a Wrexham side that are fighting for their lives. You know, we think we've got pressure. That's Wrexham, the size of that club, fighting relegation. But they wanted it more than us today. And that doesn't happen, and that hasn't happened a lot at this club. So to come off, I'm disappointed, of course I am. But those same bunch of boys have now got to liven themselves up, get themselves ready. I thought Aaron Rowe, he's been chomping at the bit. He's had to work in, it's been a difficult one. He's had to come in, work out the way we want to play. So in the end, it was just throw him on and do whatever you want. And he showed what he can do, and gives himself a fantastic chance to start next week.
And it was a much better second half than first half. The goal coming at the end, a bit of a sucker punch.
Yeah, it's a sucker punch. We're looking to score, and you're always going to leave yourself open. And if I go out full attack, you are going to be open for that. But at the same time, I need brave players in front of goal who are willing to miss, if I've got to be brutally honest. Just have a shot, take the ball by the horns and just do it. And I think there were chances when we could have got it off and we didn't. But it's going to be another crappy weekend, and it hasn't been very good for the last 8 games, obviously, and we've got to make sure that we're up for it for next week.
And next week is the visit of Sutton to Hayes Lane, another home game. Perhaps that's the sort of game with the spice of a local derby that we need.
I need any game. I want a game Tuesday, if I've got to be brutally honest, because I think it's a long week to dwell on what we've just done. And I've just said to the boys in there, I can go over every individual aspect of the game. It wasn't good enough. And then we're going to go through it all again next week. I just want them to come in and play to their potential, play to their ability. I know they're good. They wouldn't be in the situation we were in early on in the season. All right, missing a few players. You missed your keeper for 3 months. You missed Rico. You miss Mark Antony, you miss George Porter, you've had the 2 loans. So the players that are in there, go and grab your chance. Go and be better than what the players that have now left. And I don't think enough are. I think they're waiting for someone else to take the responsibility. Well, they've got to take it. I'll take responsibility for today. That's who I am, that's what I am. I'm the manager of the club. And when it was all going well, it's all brilliant. Now, when it's not going well, who's going to stand up and be counted?
Matt, one thing I did forget to warn listeners was the fact that you lost your voice just before that interview.
Well, I was not very well last week, and I apologise to everyone in the stadium as well as listening to the commentary and the interview, as my voice was even more horrendous than usual. So I do apologise to all of them, but I think I've got most of my voice back now, so back to normality now.
Obviously, attempting to look at the more positive sides of recent weeks, obviously. The biggest one, I suppose, is obviously Mark Cousins' return.
Yes, Mark is obviously a very experienced goalkeeper. We don't need to go into that. But I think you look at the games he's come back in, and And he talks about it in this interview, actually, and just the saves that he's made. He hasn't had an awful lot to do, but the saves he has had to make have been actually really big, impressive saves.
I mean, a free kick from Saturday.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And he always seems to just float through the air and just tip the ball over the bar. It's great to watch him play, and his distribution, I mean, I've never seen a goalkeeper with better distribution than Mark. So it was really, really good to catch up with him on a wide range of things, and here's what he had to say.
Mark, when we last caught up with you, you played in a friendly, and since then you've managed a few league games and done really, really well. How do you feel?
Yeah, really good to be back. Shame the results haven't necessarily gone our way. I feel we're quite unlucky against Stockport, especially. I think we deserve to probably win the game. And yeah, Saturday was a bit of a low point in terms of our first half performance, but yeah, in general I thought the last three games we deserved to get more than we actually got.
Particularly in that second half, obviously. You didn't have much to do in the second half. One really good save, but not a lot to do other than that.
To be fair, in all three games, I've only had like one or two saves to really make in every game. But that's credit to the lads. They've defended really well as a team. Unfortunately, we've had a few like moments where we've concentrations let slip, and the opposition have managed to get good chances and score. And that's probably the most disappointing thing, because overall, generally, I think defensively we've been okay. It's just key moments where we've switched off and we're being punished.
And some of those saves we refer to there have been really, really big saves, actually. You look like you've been playing all season. You look like you haven't had a break at all.
Yeah, cheers, Matt. It's I think I've kept myself sharp, like with gym, especially in January, where I haven't been doing a lot of training like prior, but just in a lot of hands, always keeps your reactions up and up to speed. And I think the last few weeks, just general training has really helped. So hopefully I can kick on again for the rest of the season now.
And we've seen the character in this team previously to bounce back during games. Is it now about bouncing back in general and getting that confidence back?
Yeah, I think we're going back to basics. I think as a team we've looked at a few clips from the start of the season and how we were playing and what we were doing, and I think we've just gone away from that a little bit, whether that's been because the team's changed around a bit, personnel have come and gone and we've replaced them, and the new lads maybe have not really understood exactly what we're doing at the start of the season. They've got results, so hopefully we've gone back to the basics in this week, and we'll get a good result.
And speaking of that, Saturday sees a local derby as we welcome Sutton to Hayes Lane. Is that maybe the sort of game we need, a fiery local derby to get back on track?
Yeah, I think local derbies are brilliant. You never know what's going to happen in them, and always it's going to be a bit cagey, I'm sure. I think both teams really want to win, but yeah, I think lads will definitely be up for it, like we've been with every game. But yeah, local derby, you always want to win.
Well, Mark, best of luck and thank you.
Cheers, Matt, thank you.
Great to hear from Mark, and just great to see him back out on that pitch, Matt.
It is, and what a difference it makes as well, you know, that we've now got two very good National League goalkeepers at our disposal, and then Tarek, who's a young talent as well. So things have really improved in that department with Mark coming back, and yeah, great to see him back out there. He's a fantastic professional as well.
Absolutely brilliant. Moving away from First Team Affairs slightly, Matt, and onto the community scheme. This has been a great source of delight this week, Matt, for many reasons, but one of them being the recent school assembly at Pickhurst School.
Yes, Pickhurst, very local to us at the club, just up the road, actually. I spoke to Neil about doing the assembly, and Neil's always very, very happy to do things like that and involve the players as well. And he nominated Jack to do it, and the reason was, and I had a feeling it might be the case, Jack actually went to Pickhurst as a kid. And I arrived, signed in, etc. Smudge came along, and then Jack managed to drag Luke Coulson along with him as well, and that Brilliant. was fantastic. And Luke's always said he's more than happy to do things like that, and it was really, really nice to go in to a new school, one that we haven't done an assembly at before, and make a difference to these people's days.
It's absolutely brilliant. I know there's a short video over on the website and Twitter for those of you who haven't seen it yet, but there was a fantastic opportunity where obviously there was a Q&A session at the end for the kids, and we've tried to cut. You've done a great job, Matt, of trying to record the audio for the day, and I think the school did a fantastic job with a microphone and the PA system.
Yeah,
so it came very extravagant. And there were a couple of questions came up, and I'm going to read out the questions, and then you'll hear from the audio the answers and that. But I thought they were fantastic. Well, one of the first questions was how do you affect other people? So those players there influence everyone. Who do you look up to? How many red cards have you got? And what was your dream being a footballer? And honestly, the answers you're about to hear are absolutely fantastic.
How do you think that you affect other people?
How do you think you affect other people?
When we win, we affect people in a nice way. They go home happy and they're really proud. And unfortunately, at the moment, when you go home and you haven't won and you've lost, you know, you feel like you've let the supporters down. So all of a sudden, from that Saturday afternoon, when you win, it's a great feeling. You feel on top of the world. You feel very, very good about yourselves and about your team and about your club. And Sunday's a lovely day. When you lose, you feel down about yourself. You feel like you've let people down. You feel you could have done better. And Sunday is a complete nightmare. And then you come in on Monday, like you do when you come in on school, and you can't wait to get back to working again and getting things right and making sure that you do the best you can, because the only way you can go and win again is to work even harder and to try your very, very best again. So that's how you feel. That's how winning and losing can affect your day, your evening, and then the following day. But like I said, you come in Monday, everything's forgotten, then you start again.
Do you look up to other people on your team, and do they look up to you?
I think we've been very fortunate this year. We have a great squad of players, and I can honestly say that I look up to every single player as if they were a captain or as if they were a leader in the team. And it's quite easy when you have the same like-minded people around you that want success to look at them and be encouraged and be proud to be part of that team. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think everybody plays a part in the team. You might not like me saying it, but Jack's someone I look up to. He's my captain. He's the leader on the pitch who's always doing the talking. He's the guy that takes me in the gym in the morning. Looks after me, actually. So yeah, Jack's someone, obviously, as a captain and a leader of the team who does his job very well, and someone I personally look up to.
Good question, thank you.
We look after each other. I don't look after everybody.
And it does help when he's 6'2", everybody looks up to him. I would have had a lot more if I'd have been playing nowadays, but when I was playing back in the day, you were allowed to really crunch into tackles, which you're not allowed to now. So I had probably too many sending offs in my career. I think I got nearly into double figures, which isn't very, very good, but you had to look after yourself a lot more in those days than you do now. But yeah, in the softer side of football now, I would like to say.
That's a good question. Unfortunately, 2 weeks ago I got sent off myself. And I can say that's my only red card in 193 games, apparently. So I don't get them too often. But good question, good timing.
I've never been sent off because I'm a good boy.
What was your dream being a footballer?
What was your dream being a footballer?
Oh, the dream was always to try and play against a Man United or a Liverpool or play at Wembley, all those dreams that probably you guys have, and fulfilled a couple of them. I fulfilled all of them. I managed to play against Liverpool, I managed to play against Man United, and I didn't play at Wembley, but I was proud enough to lead Romney Football Club out to Wembley in the FA Trophy final a couple of years ago, which was a very proud moment for someone who lives in Bromley and was schooled in Bromley. So, yeah, I've achieved some of my dreams and I've now got new ones.
Yeah, also, you know, I'm from Bromley as well, and I was fortunate enough to be at Wembley with the Gaffer, which was one of the proudest moments of my life, leading the team out. But, you know, you always have more goals and more dreams. It doesn't matter how old you get. At the moment, you know, I'd love to get into League Two with Bromley, which, you know, is a possibility for us. So, you know, there's always new dreams as you carry on playing.
I always wanted to play for my country. That was my biggest dream when I was younger. And also to play at Wembley, which I know, obviously, Jack's done and the gaffer's been, so that's my next big step.
Just before we go, guys, I'd like to say thank you for a lovely afternoon, and you know, being so local to our football club is amazing. And I know Jack hasn't said
to you guys, but Jack used to go to this school. This was Jack's school. Exactly. So he was sitting where you were now, listening to, you know, an old fella talking about stuff. I'm talking about Jack now, not me. But he had that dream that some of you might have and achieved his goal in respect. He went to Crystal Palace. He managed to go there, didn't work out. He then comes to Bromley, his local club, become the captain, led the team out of Wembley. He's achieved so much. So he was this school. He's very proud to have been a member of this school who's now representing the local football club. Thank you for a fantastic afternoon and hope to see you again.
Absolutely brilliant. That's probably the best best couple of minutes we've had on the podcast for a long, long time, Matt. It must have been fantastic to be there.
Yeah, it was amazing. I sort of, quite often I get involved in the assemblies and I do a bit of talking about the work that we try and do. But this time I just stood at the back and literally handed it over to Neil Jacken. Yeah, they were. That's why I stopped doing it, Jeff. That's what I didn't say. They absolutely ran the show. It was really, really nice to visit and Jack, it brought back a lot of memories for Jack as well. We were saying just how it hasn't changed and how many memories he's got from it as well. But it was really well received by the entire school. All the kids, all the staff were really intrigued in it as well.
The short little video that's up on the website now, you can see a couple of teachers arriving late and coming in.
And a big thanks to Mr. Dewhurst for hosting it and obviously passing the questions over. It was really great to visit and I know the kids, even as we were walking down past the playground, oh, that's Bromley Football Club and how excited they were. So it was great to give something back, and obviously we're looking forward to doing more assemblies. We've got a couple more lined up, but if you work at a school or if you know of a school that would like a visit from us, just drop me an email, matt@bromleyfc.co.uk.
Absolutely brilliant. And obviously Jack was one of the main highlights of that that assembly, Matt, and you managed to catch up with him.
So Jack, away from footballing matters ever so slightly, we've just been to Pickhurst School to do an assembly, and you've got a special connection with the school. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, it was my primary school, you know, it was just down the road, obviously, from Bromley. You know, I obviously got a twin brother and a younger sister and younger brother who all went through Pickhurst. So going back today, it was the first time I've actually been back since I left, which was good to go in and see how it's changed and how it hasn't changed. Walking through the halls again and you know, it was nostalgic. It was good to see.
Brought back a lot of memories then.
Yeah. You know, when you grow up, you know, with going back to your school, it does bring back a lot of memories, a lot of good memories, I must add. And you know, I know they're doing well as a school, and you know, it was always somewhere that I have very, very happy memories of.
Coulson, how did he do?
He was happy. He was really, really good. Very clear and vocal.
That's the word, isn't it? That's the buzzword now. Happy, isn't it?
Yeah, happy's the buzzword. I didn't know it was banned at the time from school, but I must admit, me and the gaffer carry Coulson through that assembly. He's just shown me a photo of him as Phil Mitchell
in EastEnders. Yeah,
in EastEnders,
in his other life.
But you know, it was some very good questions that actually come out of that, and you know, hopefully we answer them to the best of our ability.
And as a football club, how important is it that we do things like this? We give back to the community, we go out to the schools and act as those role models.
Yeah, ever since, you know, I've done these visits, you know, it's been quite frequent. I know you set up a lot of them. We've been all around Bromley at the moment, and you know, it's massive for us. We want to invite as many people in as we can. I know we gave them free tickets and a free adult ticket as well, and they seemed quite excited. You know, they were cheering at the end, knowing that they could come down, hopefully. But you know, we really, really want to get out to the community, and I think that's been the aim these past few years, about bringing as many people into the club as we can.
And it's about making that next generation of fans as well, isn't it? Let's be honest.
That's it. I remember going to Pickhurst and then coming down to to Bromley when I was young. You know, it was obviously the club has changed a lot since I was coming down at that age. But I think, you know, the direction we're going in and some of the football we're playing is really going to attract, you know, the young fans around us. It's a club they can grow with and hopefully, you know, get into the leagues and really build a community around the club.
Before this becomes the Jack Holland fan club, which I know already exists elsewhere outside of this domain, the biggest bit that stuck out for me was when Neil actually said that you went to Pitcairst and that there was like a gasp and there was a realisation that actually some of the children in that room can go on to achieve their dreams.
Yeah, the gaffer, you know, mentioned it. I didn't want to mention it. The gaffer said it at the end and explaining, you know, that I sat where they were sitting. And I don't know if too many, you know, especially from that school, have gone on to play football or, you know, be involved with it. But, you know, I think it's good when they can see a pathway or someone that's been in their shoes and done it. And I know we mentioned about the sacrifice it takes and just keep practicing and stuff. So, you know, hopefully they took it on board and we will hopefully see a few more come out of that school.
Well, Jack, that's brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hey, we've been joined by Cookie.
Hello, guys. It's always nice to feature on the podcast now and again. left out on this one, weren't I?
Great to hear from Jack there. Pitcairst School, what, you know, that's, I can't, I know, Smudge sent you a really nice a text message after that as well. And I know they're the little things that matter and remind you of important things in life as well. So, absolutely brilliant. Cookie, why are you here? Oh, yes, the Fire Brigade.
I don't know,
game.
Am I in on the podcast this week?
We've got a charity. I think you're going to have to do the intro at this point. We've got the Fire Brigade game.
Thanks, Jeff, for giving it a little shout-out.
Intro there.
Next Friday, 6th of March, 8 p.m. kickoff, although we're aiming more quarter to eight.
So is it a 7:45 kickoff?
Well, we're aiming for a 7:45. It depends if we can kick the junior section off 10 minutes early.
I mean, the youth section probably so probably. You'll probably find it 8:15.
Yeah, we're playing the London Fire Brigade. It's a Bromley Star Feeder Fire Brigade. So
fantastic.
That's obviously Neil Smith, Mark Hammond, Danny Mills, obviously all of the...
What about, who's the one that we're waiting for? Neil Salmon? He's boss of the week
I'm hoping so. So even maybe Alan Dunn might have a little feature, we're hoping, because the last two times that we've gone to play a game, he's in obviously Dulkey? Been bought into the next club. Jeff Hutton's going to be
no chance.
What, watching from the bar?
Correct.
Matt Hall, unfortunately, is a career-ending injury.
Yeah.
With his
hopefully he's still got a voice. He's going to be doing a PA for you, isn't he?
I hope not. Not after last time. That was just.
He's going to be doing the old
comically embarrassing. Barry Carpark, he's going to feature
the old fire engine siren when the ball goes in the back of the net.
So
that's it, when they score and then just comedy music.
I know, so it wasn't like last time.
So obviously it's a fantastic charity and the Fire Brigade have been brilliant with us this season in assisting
with a
few things. So it's going towards Firefighters 999 on Twitter. It's the Firefighters Charity, so they assist thousands of serving and retired.
So it's not going to a Twitter account.
No, so they're a charity for the firefighters serving of current serving and retired fire service personnel and their family entitled to me.
So
it's a fantastic charity. So
Matt, they're the ones who did the collection last Saturday?
Yes. So Cookie, when you arranged this game, obviously you put them in touch with me, didn't you? And we arranged for them to do a bucket collection against Wrexham. So that actually made over £210. So thank you to everyone who donated.
Just to explain, obviously, so the way the staff work and the Fire Brigade, everyone's putting in £10, players included, management, etc. All of the money goes to the charity, but I believe there will be a few people down from the Fire Brigade as well with a bucket. So come and watch.
They're bringing a fire engine down.
Have a laugh, comical. I don't think they are. Have a laugh, a comical thing. We've played two previous staff matches and lost both. Three, each progressively getting worse. So if you
lost all three.
We've lost all three. And the last one was 10-0 because despite playing Charlton.
Who's the manager, captain? Is it you?
That could be a start.
Captain's
good. There is a one. Is that a problem?
Manager, I'm always vocal on the sidelines, but normally I think Barry from the car park is pretty vocal.
Okay.
Scott Brown's going to be there, so he might feature with some words of wisdom.
About 5 minutes last time, didn't he?
Five seconds.
He came on.
His heel.
Pulled his ego. And he straight off. look, it's a fantastic cause, fantastic charity. We get to play on the stadium.
Oh, yeah, look, for those of you listening, it is pure comedy. Forget the football, forget the charity. Just come down for the comedy alone.
I think that's my
favorite. Oh, it's absolutely fantastic.
If you want to laugh...
Open? Is it Raven? Oh, I tell you what, it's even better. Venue bar's open, isn't it?
Yes.
Plus the venue kitchen. So get yourself a burger, get yourself beer Moretti, have a laugh, and then downstairs, it's the old singles night, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, it's not singles night. It's over 30s night.
So
Is that if your other half ask, or is it actually an over 30s night? It's not a singles night, is it?
No, it's an over 30s night.
Yes. Right, I get you.
So look, come down. It's a fantastic charity to support. You will have a laugh because no doubt I'll fall over or someone will fall over. Yeah, so please come down. It's going to be a great night for a great charity. And we hope to see as many as you there. I would say pack out Hayes Lane, but...
Back out of the bar. Yeah.
So, yeah, come down, get in the bar.
And to be fair, most of the players usually end up going off injured and are in the bar by the second half anyway.
It's usually
five aside by the end.
And if you want an excuse to get away from your other half that night, then you just say, it's all for charity. I'm going down to support a local charity. See, brownie points as well.
Guys, thank
you very much for letting me feature on the podcast
this
week.
Fantastic. Very much, Cookie.
Always good to speak to you. And no doubt I'll catch up with you on another podcast soon.
Thanks for coming.
Matt, I'm going to hand you back.
Thanks for coming, Cookie.
Plenty going on and off the field, Matt, obviously on the community scheme side of things as well, obviously Bromley Bells girls football. What else you got to fill us in on?
Well, we had a record breaking half term last week, where we actually got we broke our record attendance twice for the soccer camp, which was absolutely amazing. Really, really, really pleased to have done that. And obviously, we've got the standard Saturday morning sessions going on all throughout the holidays now.
Fire Brigade.
As well. All throughout the holidays as well. Every Saturday morning, 9 till 12. 9 o'clock for 4 to 6 year olds, 10 o'clock for 7 to 9 year olds, 11 o'clock for 10 years plus, and our girls' soccer score as well. Neil Salmon, you're back with us on the podcast, and this week you're going to take us through the Academy Team of the Week.
Academy Team of the Week, starting in goal, we've got Kahari Giscombe, back four, Toby Cole, Jamie Watson, Louis Petto, and Kane De Silva. Two sitting in front, Malik George, Joshua Mbata. We got a three of Takane Schrouder, AJ Martin, Bookie Sodomu, and up top alone, Chase McLean.
And the player of the week as well?
Kieran McCarthy.
And the boss of the week, I know you're not going to want to read this one out, but it's actually...
yeah, it's actually myself, but I wouldn't be there if it wasn't for the players that put in the performances, so...
Good bit of modesty there. And just touching briefly on the last week for the under-23s in particular, it was an amazing 12-0 victory at home last Friday and then followed up by another 2-0 victory.
Yeah, it was a really good week, two really good performances. The 12-0 was fully deserved. I know sometimes you can hear a 12-0 scoreline and think they were playing a team that, you know, pretty much rolled over and it was easy, but it wasn't. We had to go out there and we had to really put in the work. We had to earn the right and... You know, especially the first five goals, we really went and earned those and then we took the game away from them. The game again in the week against Chatham away, 2-0, but again, it could have been one where we could have scored a lot more. So, yeah, two really good performances, and that's the main thing. Regardless of the score, whether it's a win, whether it's a loss, a big win or loads of goals like we've seen, it's really about what they do and how they did it. So, yeah, really pleased.
Okay, Matt, it's a big one on Saturday.
It
must is. Must win, derby, it's got everything. It's got the ingredients of an absolute worldie.
Very well put, Jeff, it has. And I think you look at games with Sutton in the past, and they have always been entertaining games. Obviously, the most recent of which was a trip to Gander Green Lane back at the back end of 2019. Oh. And... a really good performance that day, wasn't it? A 2-0 victory thanks to goals, a debut goal for Ben Williamson and a goal for Michael Cheek as well. And I think...
It was as perfect as you could get.
I think that was a classic away performance, wasn't it? And I think you look at the comments from fans that all the videos from it have resurfaced online in the past week or so and just how well we defended that day. And I think more of the same is going to be required tomorrow because Sutton are a much improved outfit since that game. They currently sit 16th in the table, having played 34 games. They've scored 43 goals and conceded 40, and they're on 43 points. So if you're looking at that goal difference statistics there, they've scored considerably less than us, but they've also conceded considerably less than us. So they're a bit more tight at the back. And I did see a stat actually the other week that Bromley are the top scorers. I think we may have touched on it last week at home in the entire league. So let's hope we can add to that tomorrow. Obviously, they've got former Bromley man Omar Begill in their ranks as well, who hit a purple patch a few weeks ago and was just banging goals in left, right and centre. And also David Ajiboy, who's from Bromley. I'm pretty sure we discussed him last time, went to Bishop Justice and made his name at Worthing and is now doing really, really well in the National League. So, yeah, it should be a good game, Jeff.
Louis Dennis, late equaliser, seems to ring a bell for me.
Yes.
That was a home, wasn't
it? No, it was a late winner.
Late winner, sorry. Yeah.
And do you remember the year before we got promoted from the Conference South, a late winner from Pierre in the 89th minute or something as well, Pierre-Joseph Dubois as well. So yeah, it has been a dramatic sort of fixture in the past.
I'm sure Saturday will be no different. Tickets, Matt, all the usual details?
Yes, tickets are available online until 1 o'clock on the day.
Oh, we've managed to actually speak to someone there, haven't we?
Was going
to
go into that. Yeah, tickets are still available online at the discounted rates until 1 o'clock tomorrow on the date of the game, that is. So make sure you get your tickets, come down and back the boys. They really need the support for this game.
Sorry, Matt, I jumped ahead there because we've actually spoke to somebody.
We have. Yes, Tony Dolbert, the press officer for Sutton, who's very, very kindly helped us out with this. And it's always good to see Tony and catch up with him. And he's provided us with this little, in a nutshell, piece of how his side season has gone so far.
It was always going to be a transitional season for Sutton this season, with long-serving manager Paul Doswell leaving the club after much success and Matt Gray taking over. But a good start, including a win at Hartlepool on the first day of the season and unbeaten in the first five games, promised much. But then things fell away a little bit towards the September-October time, and Sutton slumped towards the bottom reaches of the table, and in particular a torrid two-week period at the end of October, beginning of November, when former Bromley and Sutton goalkeeper Alan Julian played a blinder for Billericay to keep his side in the FA Cup tie at Sutton, and then went up the other end to score a last-minute equaliser that paved the way for a replay which Billericay won comfortably. That was followed by a defeat to Ebbsfleet thanks to a penalty 10 minutes into injury time, and narrow defeats against high-flying Halifax and Barrow, both by a single goal when Sutton had more than held their own in the game. But manager Matt Gray added to the squad, signing goalkeeper Nick Zanev on loan from Wimbledon and recalling defender Louis John after a couple of years away at Cambridge United, and that sparked a 2-1 win at Torquay, since when Sutton have only lost twice in 14 games, once at home to Bromley in November and then at Chesterfield at the beginning of January after the heavy Christmas period caught up with them. But that Christmas period saw Sutton win 4 on the trot either side of Christmas Day, including a double over Surrey rivals Woking. And since then, it's been a consolidation, if a slightly uneven start to 2020, with very few games played. Craig Eastman's suspension following his sending off at Chesterfield on the first weekend of January will only finish this Saturday. Having served his fourth game at home to Barrow, he will be eligible for the game at Hayes Lane. Former Romney striker Omar Begill was significant in that time over Christmas, a hat-trick against Wrexham followed by two at Woking, including a first-minute strike that's right up there in the running for the Goal of the Season award. While Harry Buteman's contribution from midfield with 15 goals in the league from midfield has been a significant factor to the season. It's been tough for Matt Gray in his first season. He's lost the services of Dale Bennett and Jamie Collins, who both retired, experienced defenders who both retired during the season. And just this week, Tommy Wright, the striker, has announced he's going to have to take a few weeks away from the game, having spent most of last season out through injury and just returning to something like his best form during that Christmas period. But striker Isaac Alafi, signed on loan from Millwall earlier this month, produced an impressive debut against Barrow last Saturday, and with his pace on one side and that of David Ajiboy, a revelation since his close season signing from Worthing, on the right wing, then Sutton's attack does have plenty of pace in it. Looking forward to the game at Hayes Lane this Saturday.
A big thank you to Tony there for providing that. Like I said, mate, a quick summary of their season so far. Obviously, after Sutton, we head up north to Harrogate. Obviously, we'll cover that on next week's show. However, for those who aren't making the trip, the Ravens Bar is going to be open for the game live on BT Sport, 5:20 p.m.
It is 5:20, and it was actually really busy in there for the Barrow game, which was on TV in January, wasn't it?
So yeah, I'm really hoping it should be a good.
Let's hope there's a good atmosphere
and good vibe in there. Obviously, I think a Cray at home Cray at home before that. So for those you want to get down to Cray game, that's probably going to be football for a fiver for Bromley season ticket holders. And then obviously, like you say, in the Ravens Bar afterwards, 5:20 p.m. Harrogate Town versus Bromley. And fast forwarding even more, Matt, AFC Fylde, last game of the season.
Yes, and this has come about this week and actually gone down really, really well. Chairman Robin Stanton-Gleaves has very kindly offered to provide free coach travel for supporters to this game, which is the final league game of the season on the 25th of April. So,
final scheduled league game?
Yes.
Playoffs not included?
Well, playoffs aren't really league games, are they?
Okay, so, correct.
I think I've done quite well. excuse me. So, obviously, this is similar to what happened with Bristol Rovers, and we took a really good travelling support to that game. I think it was over 500 on the day, wasn't it? So it'd be great to get some support. Who knows how important this game could be, Jeff, for both sides at the end of the season, considering where Fylde are as well.
The difference between a home playoff place or an away playoff place. Bit serious.
It could well be. But, yeah, you can register your interest or apply for a place on the website, bromleyfc.co.uk, and just click on the file travel article, and all you need to do is fill out a little form and you can book your place.
Absolutely brilliant. I know Jamie Thomas and the guys that had put together a sports coach originally. I know he thinks he's doing refunds for those who
didn't
book on it. Hopefully the free travel helps even more fans make the journey to that game than originally planned. So really looking forward to that one. But like you say, Matt, plenty of games come before then, and we're starting on Saturday at home to Sutton United. Doesn't come much bigger than that, Matt, not at this stage of the season. So it'd be great to see as many of you down at Hayes Lane as possible. As always, ticket details over on the website, bromleyfc.co.uk. They're cheaper online in advance up until around 1 o'clock on the day of the game. And as ever, Ravens Bar is going to be open early on Saturday. Midday it's open from, we've got Palace actually, isn't it?
Yeah, Palace Brighton, yeah.
Palace Brighton, big game there on the TV beforehand. And as ever, it's a free pint before 1 o'clock also. I think that's it, Matt.
I think that pretty much is it. We've had a lot
no
this
doubt,
week,
no
we?
Doubt we've missed loads of things off. But I'm sure we'll be told anyway. A big thank you to everybody who's downloaded this episode and continues to download it and subscribe. It's greatly appreciated. Don't forget to rate us and leave us a comment on iTunes and Spotify, wherever you're listening to. And like I say, Sutton United tomorrow, big game. Make sure you get down to the ground and we'll see you all then. And that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.